Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Laura. Welcome back to the What You Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. It is so great to be back. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited. So since you are coming back, you actually did a big thing this year, or a couple of years. It's been a couple of years in the work. So tell us what you've been up to.
So I did do a very big thing. So I wrote a book and it's being published March 1st, 2022. It is a contemporary middle grade novel that features a 12-year-old girl. She faces the untimely death of her grandfather with whom she lives, and he's her favorite person on earth. So of course she's devastated, and this sends her into a tailspin, and she ends up taking an unexpected journey from her home in Chicago to the Northwoods of Wisconsin, which actually happens to be my favorite place on earth. She stretches her comfort zone. She learns all sorts of new things about herself. And above all, she figures out how to listen to that courageous voice inside, which I'm sure you and me and all of us who are women remember at that age is sometimes really hard to listen to because there's a lot of chatter going on around you. And at the end of the day, it's the voice in your head that matters most.
Yeah. So tell us what it was like to write a 12-year-old as a main character. How do you get in her voice and how do you get into the feelings of a 12-year-old? Because, you know, we're adults, so yeah, we're not as close to that age. Tell us a little about
That's a great question. It helps that I have three teenagers. I have twin daughters that are 17. They're seniors in high school. And I have a son who's 14, who's a freshman in high school. And so those kind of middle grade tween years are still very fresh in my mind, just having gone through it with them. And I have to say, like, looking back at my own life, that age of 12, 11, 12, for me was really pivotal. Because you're not a little kid anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, you still want your parents, you want your family, but at the same time, you're kind of pushing them away because you want to take that next step to independence. Mm-hmm. You want to be like your friends, you care what they think about you, but at the same time, you're also figuring out what makes you you and what makes you different and what makes you tick. And so it's this whole age of contrasts and juxtapositions. And I just plopped myself right into my character's brain. Her name is Claire. And I went with it. And there's a lot of me in her. But having said that, there's also a lot of me in both her mother and her grandmother. Mm-hmm. That's her family, you know, that she lives with. And their bonds and their relationships change and grow in light of Claire's grandfather's passing. So there's a lot of me in all the characters, but particularly Claire. I tend to view the world the same way she does. I think she's kind of hard on herself. She doesn't give herself enough credit. And that tends to be me sometimes. So I also have learned from Claire myself, just going through this adventure with her.
So what was the process of publishing this book? Like when did you start writing? Like, what was the process? Like, what the idea? You know, we talked a little bit before we start recording that this idea has been simmering for quite some time. So tell us all about it.
Okay, it's been simmering for a long time. So when my three teenagers were like little toddlers toddling around in diapers, I remember that it was like this idea, and I like to call her Creative Mother Universe. And I think I'm stealing that whole concept from Elizabeth Gilbert, from her amazing book, Big Magic. Mm-hmm. But she kind of writes about how the universe, this creative mother universe, sends these ideas down to us. Mm-hmm. And it's our job to take them and be inspired by them and run with them. And if you don't take that idea that she's sent down to you, it's just going to kind of roll along and find somebody else. It's going to find a home somewhere else. So I had this idea when my kids were little, and I'm convinced that like it just came down to me from above. And it was the picture of Claire, my main character. And I'm not going to give anything away, but she was wearing something and she was doing something. And I'm like, who is this girl? What is her story? So for 10, 15 years, something like that, I have been thinking about Claire. She's had different names along the way, but ultimately her name was Claire. I have been thinking about her story as I have driven carpool and folded laundry and made dinner and all of the things that go along with being a parent. She was in the back of my head and her story was developing and getting bigger and getting stronger. And finally, I thought I have to listen to Elizabeth Gilbert and do something with this because this idea has been sitting with me too long. And so it was about 3 years ago, I sat down and I created a schedule for myself. I said, if I can write 250 words a day, like literally I broke it down to that micro level, 250 words a day, I can write for like 8-9 months and I will have a novel at the end of this time. And I did. And it was pretty rough because it was very much a classic first draft. It needed a lot of work, but I have worked extensively with a freelance children's editor. She lives in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minneapolis. Her name is Mary Cole and her company is Good Story Company. And she's amazing. It's been like having my own workshop, writing workshop with her, like a master's of fine arts. She's just walked me through and explained things to me and showed me where my deficiencies were and helped build up the things that I'm good at. And she's really marvelous. And we worked through a number of drafts together. And she actually was the one that helped me come up with the title, which I don't even think I've said yet on this podcast, but it's called Crossing the Pressure Line. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give away what that means either, because that plays a significant role in the book, the whole concept of crossing the pressure line. But it was Mary, my editor, who was like, you know, that's your title, because I'd gone through like a number of possible titles. So we arrived at that. And then she told me, it was about a year ago, she said, it is time to send this book out into the universe. Your work is done. And by that point, I was like, no, I can't imagine not working with you, Mary. Like, no, I'm not ready. And she said, it's time. So I spent a very big chunk of time trying to find an agent. No one bit, and that's okay. I can't see that maybe an agent sitting in the skyscraper in Manhattan is going to necessarily get my story, which I think is fabulously Midwestern. It takes place in Wisconsin, and I'm really proud of that fact because I think there's a heart to it. I'm really proud of that. So I wasn't having any luck along, you know, securing an agent, but I ended up finding this wonderful Wisconsin-based independent publisher called Orange Hat Publishing. Mm-hmm. And they told me they wanted it and they wanted me. And it was a moment in my life I will never forget. It was like all of a sudden, all my dreams, my goal, all the work, all the blood, sweat, and tears, mm-hmm. It came to fruition and they have been wonderful to work with. And I think our aesthetic is very similar. They're very salt of the earth. They're delightful. They are unabashedly Midwestern and I'm here for it. So it's been a great journey. And so the book comes out March 1st and I'm slightly terrified, but I'm just working towards that point. And there's lots to do with publicity and marketing and getting word out there. But anytime I start feeling apprehensive about it, I just tell myself, do it for Claire. It's Claire's story. And she's the one that deserves to go out in the world, her and her best friends who feature in her story. They're just awesome kids and they need to get out there. So it's time.
Yes. And there's a market, you know, this is like perfect for tweens and even just young adults who are like looking at thinking back on their 11, 12 year old selves, you know. So I think it's, and for adults here to just want to revisit that childhood, you know, process of listening to your intuition or, you know, that voice that tells you who you are, you know. So
yeah, I think it's a really it's a heartwarming story, even though it centers on Claire's loss. I think it is something that adults can read and find that little chunk of joy and courage inside of themselves. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. That's what I love about middle grade is that anyone can read it and get something out of it. You don't have to be, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth grade. You can be an adult and still enjoy it.
Yes. As someone who does read middle grade and young adult novels in my 40s, I would say, yes, you can read them at any age. So, yeah, because there's something to be said about that time of your life where you're just starting to figure out and you have to support the safety net of family and stuff. And you can make friends so easily. And you have all these different things. So it's like you go back to your childhood and just like revisit those moments. So, yeah. All right, so let's chat book recommendations. So tell us a couple books that sparked joy over the past couple of years, because I know past couple of year hasn't been that fun. So it's any books that sparked joy that you're like, oh my gosh, just got me out of the funk, or, you know, it was a good pandemic reading.
Yeah, that is a great question. So I read a lot. I read all the time. I'm a voracious reader. As you and I have talked about before, I know you love romance. I'm sort of twisted, I guess, in that I veer towards darker books. Like I really like really meaty literary fiction. Mm-hmm. And so I do have a couple of recommendations for the books that I've read this year that are my favorite literary fiction. But in terms of the book that has sparked the most joy for me this year, it is literary fiction, but it's lighter, but it's called The Gunkle by Stephen Rowley.
Yes.
And The Gunkle, if you don't know, stands for gay uncle. And Stephen himself is an uncle. I believe he has four nieces and nephews, I think. But his book is an explosion of joy. Like when I read this book, I mean, it is like champagne and balloons and confetti, like flying down on top of you. I absolutely loved it. You know, at its core, it is also about loss, a very unthinkable loss. But the main character and his niece and nephew find this new way of being together. And there is so much humor and warmth, and the references to pop culture are spot on. I mean, I could see this being a movie or a TV show. It's absolutely delightful. And I've recommended it to so many people, and I have not found one person who does not love it. So it has like universal appeal.
Yeah. So this book was recommended, I think, a couple of weeks ago in an episode that you may listen at some point. And I was like, let me just read it, because the author, Stephen, actually narrates the audiobook. And I was like, it's unique that authors don't do that, you know? So I was like, I'm curious to hear. So I listened to the audiobook, and he does an excellent job of like narrating it and like being in this world and being this voice. And it's like, and I have a thing for books about grief and books about love. Yeah. Like that's like a catnip for me. I'm like, give it to me. Like, you know, it's a way for me to process emotion. So it was an excellent read, because it's just like, I don't know, I needed to be in Palm Springs,
you know? I know. I've never been to Palm Springs. I want to go now. I just want to go and walk through those like sunshiny streets and see if I can see Stephen and his lovely husband, Byron, you know, walking in the sun. They're just the cutest things.
Yes. All right. So let's have some literary fiction recommendations. Which ones are you
recommend? Yeah. So, you know, I kind of whittled down because I read a lot, but there were three that really stood out to me in the course of this year. The first one is Landslide by Susan Conley. I loved it. It's a very quiet book. It takes place on the coast of Maine. It's about a woman whose husband is a fisherman, and he's in a terrible fishing accident. And it really changes the course of their marriage and their family. What I loved about it is that the main character has two teenage boys. I have three teenagers. And so I am like going through that big time. And she writes so movingly about motherhood and about teenagers, particularly teenage boys. I mean, that book just gutted me. I loved it. It's difficult. It's not a thick book, but it's beautiful. Her writing is spectacular. So I can't recommend that one enough, especially for all you moms and dads out there who are grappling with those hormones from your children. So the second book is Godspeed by Nicholas Butler. Mm-hmm. And he actually is a fellow Wisconsin author, and I adore him. And this book is bananas. Work with me here. It's actually about three construction workers, which I know sounds odd because I don't know anything about construction. So I'm like, I don't know, is this going to work? It works. These three guys, they're childhood friends, and they own a construction company together in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And they have been charged with building this multi-million dollar home up in the mountains by the hot springs. And the owner of this home is a woman who's so enigmatic, and you come to find out her story and what is compelling her to spend all this money on this crazy house. But she gives these guys this ridiculous timeline to finish the house, and it becomes dangerous, and they make some very poor choices, and a lot of things happen, which I'm not going to give away. But I read this book like with sweaty hands, with white knuckles. I couldn't put it down. It gave me the goosebumps. It's excellent.
I gotta say, I love the fact just like it gave me the goosebumps. It's excellent. You know, like yes. I gotta read this. This is a good book. It keeps me going.
So. Yes. I mean, there's some scenes of violence in there. Maybe some crystal meth. That's all I'm gonna say. But I loved it because there are such bigger themes at play around this story and around these three guys. It's really excellent. And then the third book I highly recommend. I'm sure you've got some Elizabeth Strout fans out there, and Elizabeth Strout is probably best known for her Olive Kitteridge books, mm-hmm. which I loved. I love her writing style. For those of you out there who have read her before and loved My Name is Lucy Barton, mm-hmm. which came out a few years ago, her newest book, it's called Oh William. And it's like a sequel to My Name is Lucy Barton. The main character is Lucy again. Mm-hmm. And she lives in New York City, and she's in her 60s. She has two grown daughters. And William, in this case, is her ex-husband, William, with whom she's had a relationship with him through the years, but they reconnect for a very different reason. Mm-hmm. He's been going through a very hard time, and she's there to support him, but it kind of calls all these questions up about their life together and about their daughters and about loss and grief and marriage and divorce. Mm-hmm. And it's just this unassuming book. Elizabeth Strout has this gift of, she notices and she describes every minute interaction between people. The way people look at each other, the way their voices sound, the way they show affection. I just don't know how she does it. And the way she describes it is just nothing short of miraculous. Mm-hmm. So, Oh, William, I was just stunning, beautiful.
I love this. I love these recommendations because we typically don't hear them in this podcast. So I'm grateful that you're giving us some brand new recommendations.
Well, it's the least I can do. I mean, they're great books. And you know, I know they're not like these light, you know, happy books, so to speak, but for me, they just give me like that sense of meaning and peace and solace that there are difficulties in the world and we're all going through things.
Yeah.
Some of them very unseen and hidden, but we're all grappling with something and there's always a way through to the end.
I love this. So tell us where you can find you online and where can we buy the book?
Sure. Okay. So you can find me online at, I'm primarily on Instagram. I'm Laura at the Library, and there's an underscore underneath each of the words. So Laura at the Library. And Facebook, I don't really do very much on Facebook, but I am there. Laura Ann Merritt Bird. And Merritt is my maiden name. It's M-E-R-R-I-T-T. I'm also on LinkedIn. I don't know if any of your people are on LinkedIn. But I have a brand new website that my publisher helped me with. It's laurabirdbooks.com, mm-hmm. laurabirdbooks.com. And I still have to get going on the blogging aspect of that on that website. But there are links on that website to pre-order my book because it is available for pre-order. Mm-hmm. Orange Hat Publishing is offering it. Also, my local independent bookstore, Mystery to Me Books in Madison, Wisconsin, because I'm a huge local independent bookstore fan. So there are a few links on the website that'll take you directly to the pre-order. It is also for pre-order on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. But again, if you can find your local bookstore, they would be glad to do that for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Laura, for being on the show.
Laura, you're delightful. It's always so much fun to talk books with you. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.